When we talk about mothers, we are talking about a mother's place within the home. And as we consider a mother's place within the home, there are a number of things that have been said over the centuries about mothers and the relationship of mothers to various world leaders. There are some quotes that I want to share with you from some of those leaders over the years as they have expressed, I think, the heart of each and every one of us in relation to our mothers. One man said, and I'll not necessarily give the credit to the specific person, I'll just simply tell you these aren't original with me. Simply having children does not make a mother. Another man once said, men are what their mothers have made them. In another instance, a man said, a mother's heart is a child's schoolroom. There's an old Spanish proverb that says, an ounce of mother is worth a pound of preachers. I think there's some truth to that. And then Abraham Lincoln is probably most known among the quotes with regard to mothers when he said, all that I am or can be, I owe to my angel mother. One of the things that a public speaker is not to do is get real personal about lessons like this. And you know me over the last few years, I don't do that, but I do want this morning to indulge just a little in making the comment that both my mother and my wife have been an absolute encouragement to me in the idea of preaching the gospel. And I am eternally grateful for the influence that they both have had on me over the years, and I thank God for them. And so we'll present our thoughts this morning about motherhood as we recognize that there are a number of examples within the Scriptures of women who stand out as luminaries regarding motherhood and the influence they had upon their children. It might also be noted that, and we're not going to get into this, there are a number of examples of women in Scripture who performed as mothers in some of the most horrific ways. And they do not stand as examples. As we think in the Old Testament, there are two people that come to mind with a lot of negative attitude about them. We think of Ahab and Jezebel. And Jezebel was one who was a very wicked queen. And as we read in the New Testament, we read of Herodias and all that she did to influence her family in the wrong kinds of ways. Now we've gotten those two ugly examples out of the way. What we'd like to do is simply talk about a mother's place within the home. One of the first things we note when we think about a mother within the home is the grave responsibility that she is given to be the manager of the home. I think, quite frankly, we have, over the course of time, sometimes gotten sidetracked from some translations of Scripture that remind us that the mother, the wife, is to be a keeper at home. And I think over the years, some preachers have looked at that expression and missed the significance of what is said there about the mother, a wife, being the keeper at home. The idea really is presented for us here of one who is a manager. And when we think of somebody as a manager, we think of somebody who has grave responsibilities that they're expected to carry out. And so God has put upon your shoulders as mothers within the home to be managers of that home. I recognize that indeed men are to be the head of the house. But the role of a manager within the home is just as significant, just as important, and just as valuable as the man being the head of the house. They're two separate roles. And quite frankly, they're indispensable. And so as we honor mothers in our thoughts this morning and consider this matter of the mother being the manager of the home, it is an elevated position. It is a position that nobody needs to hang their head about, but rather see that role and carry it out before God. Let's look at a couple of passages, and we'll be reading from the New King James. If you'd like to follow along with the passage on the screen, that's the translation. But you may follow in your own Bible, and it may read a little different. Proverbs 31 says this, and by the way, you'll recall that Proverbs 31 has a number of things about the virtuous woman presented there. But in verse 27, the proverb writer says, "She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness." That tells us that our children can look to mother as one who is caring and involved in the affairs of the home. She is not simply a bystander. She is not somebody who cowers in the corner and waits for the beck and call of the husband. Let me say that as we talk about the wonderful role of mothers within the home today, there may be some times where I'll give a little jab to us as men in that we sometimes fail to encourage our wives to be that role that God wants her to be. And I will say, quite frankly, there have been times when I think that some men have actually stood in the way of the mother being the manager of the home, what she is to be within that home. Let's go over to Titus and look at the second chapter there. As we examine verses 4 and 5, we see there in the New King James it says, referring to the older women, that they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. This idea of being a homemaker is that idea in the Old King James of being a keeper at home. It signifies to us the fact that she has the responsibility to take care of the running of the household. Again, I would suggest to you that that is not an insignificant position. Her responsibilities put upon her a great deal of burden, and we need to recognize that both as husbands and as children within the home. By having that responsibility, she is expected by God to see that the home runs smoothly. And let me say, just to get into some practical aspects as well, it is the mother's responsibility within the home for the caring of the home, for the financial adjustments of the household expenses, and for the general demeanor of the home. We studied a few years ago in the men's Bible class on Sunday afternoons the idea of men being elders. And we would hope that there are a number of men within the congregation who are working at and planning to one day serve as elders within the congregation. What we note as you look in 1 Timothy and in Titus is that a wife's part in that is relatively simple in its expressions. But when we look at the role of women within the home and a passage such as this, we need to understand just how valuable she is to help the husband fulfill many of the aspects of qualifying to serve as a pastor, serve as an elder within the home one day. I think that part of managing the home, being a homemaker, means that she's an integral part of the family practicing hospitality. I've been in places where individuals who have desired to be elders have been, in fact, rejected by the congregation because they were not perceived as being hospitable. Indeed, some of it falls upon the husband, but much of it, I would suspect, falls to the wife as well. If she does not maintain a house that allows the husband and the wife together as a team to present themselves with hospitality, how will he be able to serve one day? One of the great shames would be that if a man has that ability to teach, has that sobriety that God wants from him, has that wisdom, and yet they do not practice hospitality. It's the role of the wife to maintain that atmosphere within the home that allows them to be hospitable. On the other side, I've known of individuals who thought that this idea of the wife being the keeper at home was absolutely proof text that you just could not work outside the home. I think a close reading of Proverbs sees that indeed that homemaker, that wife that was the manager of the home, did at times involve themselves in the affairs of the world around them in the making of money. So the text does not demand that a housewife cannot work outside the home. But we need to remember this. If a husband and a wife make a deliberate choice for the husband to be the only breadwinner within the home, then it becomes the husband's and wife's responsibility to so manage that home to allow that to take place. If circumstances dictate that both the husband and the wife need to work outside the home to generate income to survive, then both the husband and wife need to understand that there are mutual responsibilities within keeping the home. I think a lot of husbands create great hardships upon their wives when they say, I want you to work outside the home because we need more income for the home, and yet you take care of all the responsibilities of being the manager of the home. Talked to a young couple not long ago in my neighborhood. They deliberately have chosen to be a one-income family. And it reminded me that there are some within our congregation who have deliberately chosen to be a one-income family. And what they have done, and what those within the congregation do as well, is simply recognize that we'll live within the means of that one income. And yeah, there'll be things that our friends have that we'll not have. But as the manager of the home, the wife says, I'll take on the burden to get done what needs to be done. So this is a tremendous honor, a tremendous responsibility that is given her. She is described as one who guides the home, as you look at 1 Timothy, the 5th chapter, verse 14. Therefore I desire the younger widows to marry, build, bear children, manage the house, give no opportunity to the adversary to speak reproachfully. Managing the house is the idea of disciplining her time. Disciplining herself that her abilities to carry out this responsibility can be done to the betterment of the husband and to the betterment of the children. What she ends up doing then is being an influence to both her husband and her children beyond what most people will ever know. But I suspect down the line, others around her will begin to see the fruits of having fulfilled that responsibility. It needs to be understood that indeed, a mother's primary responsibility is within the home. I think one of the great dangers that can happen within a society is when we as a society and when Christians buy into this as well, where we're telling our young girls that what they need to do is really get into the books, get studying, and get out there and get themselves a good career. And get a good career becomes the focal point for them. We as Christians within a community need to encourage the young women to set as their goal to one day be all that God wants them to be as a wife, all that God wants them to be as a mother within the home first and foremost. Now, that's not to say there's anything wrong with a woman deciding, I'll never marry and I'm going to pursue a career. Nor is there anything wrong with a woman saying, well, I do want to have this career because something may happen to my husband and I need that to fall back on. Or there'll come a time within our lives as husband and wife to where we'll have the time to put into two careers to the fullest while I still manage the home. Those are fine. Just make sure that we as Christians aren't telling our little girls that the idea of being a wife, the idea of being a mother, the idea of being a keeper at home is some second-class citizen. They're not second-class citizens. It is, I believe, the highest role that God has given woman to play on this earth. And we should indeed thank God for our wives who are the mothers of our children every day of our lives. Again, I recognize society, they downplay this. They see the idea of somebody who simply stayed at home, never had a job, never had to go out into the workforce. Somehow, they're not quite the woman that woman that's out in the workforce, out there making a career. They're not quite the woman she is. That woman out in the workforce, that woman out in the workplace, she's the one to be held up. That's Satan at work. Let us recognize the Bible order, God's order for things, and see the mother as the manager of the home in such a valuable role. We also find that part of that valuable role is the idea of being a teacher of God's Word. When we consider the importance of that sense of being a teacher of God's Word, I want you to remember the story of Moses. Remember, the people of Jacob had gone down into Egypt, and after a number of years, the Pharaoh who so loved Joseph died, and another ruler came up, and what we find is that he began to oppress the people. It reached the point where he decided he wanted to stop this growth of these Israelites. And so eventually it got to the point where he decided, put to death all the baby boys. Moses' mother and father did not want him to die and made arrangements by making a little bed for him, a little ark for him to float in. And he went into the bulrushes and was found there by Pharaoh's daughter. Pharaoh's daughter recognized it was one of the Hebrew. And she decided it would be good to get somebody from the Hebrews to come and take care of that child. And it was by the providence of God that Moses' very own mother was brought in to take care of Moses himself. And so what we read there with the life of Moses was that Jochebed was able to instill within Moses, while living in all the grandeur of the most wealthy kingdom in the world, she was able to instill within him the values that God wanted him to have and remember as part of the people that he was a part of. And all of that that was so important to the development of Moses came in the face of being in all the riches and in all the power of Pharaoh's house. And for that, we see the great influence that his mother had upon him. There's another woman that we think of when we think of the influence on a baby, on a child, and that is Mary with regard to Jesus. As Luke, the second chapter, is concluding there in verse 52, "And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man." This passage is not stated as if Jesus was raised in a bubble by himself. He had the unique role as being both the son of Mary and Joseph, but also the Son of God. And God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit did not choose it would seem from that passage, did not choose to simply let Jesus be a baby that raised himself up to adulthood. But rather we get the impression from all of this that it was the result of the influence of his mother Mary that allowed these things to be possible. And so the physical growth is the responsibility of mothers for their children. The mental growth is the responsibility of the mothers as they influence their children in those early learning years. Even the spiritual development, while primarily we think of the fathers because of passages like Ephesians 6, even so we recognize that mothers have a tremendous influence in the spiritual development of their children as well. I fear that many, many mothers are allowing their children to be raised by Big Bird. They're allowing their children to be raised by Dora the Explorer. Or they're allowing their children to be raised by SpongeBob. There can be aspects of any of those programmings that I think can be kind of harmful. There can also be aspects of any of those programmings I mentioned that can have some pretty good messages to them. But television isn't the source of developing the moral character of your children. Television isn't going to develop the spirituality of your children. Mothers, you develop that spirituality within your children, along with your husband. You develop that mental aspect of your children, along with your husband. It is a blessed role that God has given you, and therefore, you need to take it seriously. We all need to be very serious about understanding that just as Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man, so we need to do all we can to make sure that our children make those same types of strides forward in life. A couple of other passages to consider. One is in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5, where Paul says, "When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your mother, in your grandmother Lois, and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded in you also." It is interesting to me that as the Apostle Peter is commenting about Timothy and what was involved in his life, no doubt he knew some things, and I think we can read a few things into this. He must have understood the extreme influence that grandmother and mother had upon him. I would hope that you recognize the extreme influence that you as a mother have on the spiritual development of your children. From the simplest thing of knowing the Bible stories that will catch their attention while they're little, to as they develop in life, making application of those simple Bible stories to the spiritual depths that will become the core and the heart of who they are. Over in 2 Timothy, the third chapter and in verse 15, it says, And that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Jesus Christ. Mothers, it isn't the job of the Bible class program here at Middleburg to raise your children to have spiritual knowledge. It's the role of the church here to teach the truth, but it should be supplemental to what you're doing for your children, what you're giving your children, what you're offering to your children in their spiritual development. And the moment a mother says, "I don't have enough time to fulfill that responsibility, I think at that point, it's time for her and her husband to sit down and say, where do we trim things? What changes do we make if I find myself without the time, without the energy, or even without the inclination to be giving my children the spiritual food that they need to have? And again, I'm not letting the fathers off the hook on this at all. But it just so happens that the nation today calls today Mother's Day. In June, we'll have something called Father's Day. But right now, mothers recognize this God-given responsibility. We also want to note that mother's place within the home is to set worthy examples to those around her. We can go back again there to Proverbs 31. And as I said, we could read much of that book and much of that particular chapter to get things about the worthy woman. But notice in verse 26, she opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. I think it's important that each mother take time throughout perhaps the course of the day or at least sometime during the week to reflect upon how she is influencing her children. Are they seeing within her words of wisdom? Are they seeing within her words of kindness? Now, I realize that this is not to suggest that there can never be discipline. Because if you don't discipline your child, I assure you, you are not giving them words of wisdom. If you do not discipline your child, you are not instilling within them the law of kindness. To ignore discipline within the raising of a child is to ignore what makes a child complete in spiritual matters. And so indeed, from your mouth, my dear mothers, should come words of wisdom. And within those words of wisdom may be strong words of chastisement. I love the fact, and there are a number of mothers here that use this expression, and my wife did as well, and I just think it's fantastic. From the time your child is very, very small, wisdom says that you tell that child, you're making a choice. What is the choice you're going to make? Because the choice you make, and let me tell you, and I know the mothers here that have small children know this, and we who have grown children, we may not remember it, but we knew it. At a very small age, they understand they're making choices. And it's up to them to make good choices or bad choices. That's part of the wisdom that comes from your mouth, mothers. Reminding your child of the choice they are about to make on the simplest of things. Don't get the mistaken impression that later when they get older, then you can tell them about the idea of making choices when they've spent the first 7 or 8 or 9 years not understanding the concept of choice. All they were doing was obeying without understanding. They were making choices. No, instill within them the importance of the choices they're going to make. Again in Titus, this time in 2, the older women, likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. That's how you are an example to your children, and therefore an influence upon them. I want to close this morning by reading a I guess it's a poem, you would say. It's the reflections of a mother, and I don't know that the author is known. I'm not aware of who the author is. But here's what it says, the reflections of a mother. I gave you life, but cannot live it for you. I can teach you things, but I cannot make you learn. I can give you directions, but I cannot be there to always lead you. I can allow you freedom, but I cannot account for it. I can take you to church, but I cannot make you believe. I can teach you right from wrong, but I cannot always decide for you. I can buy you beautiful clothes, but I cannot make you beautiful inside. I can offer you advice, but I cannot accept it for you. I can give you love, but I cannot force it upon you. I can teach you to share, but I cannot make you unselfish. I can teach you to respect, but I cannot force you to show honor. I can advise you about friends, but cannot choose them for you. I can advise you about sex, but I cannot keep you pure. I can tell you the facts of life, but I cannot build your reputation. I can tell you about drink, but I cannot say no for you. I can warn you about drugs, but I cannot prevent you from using them. I can tell you about lofty goals, but I cannot achieve them for you. I can teach you about kindness, but I cannot force you to be gracious. I can warn you about sin, but I cannot make you moral. I can love you as a child, but I cannot place you in God's family. I can pray for you, but I cannot make you walk with God. I can teach you about Jesus, but I cannot make Jesus your Lord. I can tell you how to live, but I cannot give you eternal life. I can love you unconditionally with all the love of my life, and I will. And it is signed, Always Mom. As we close, having talked about Mother's Day, there indeed are many things that you are to do and can do. And I recognize that those to whom you try to influence are ultimately the ones who are responsible for what they have done or will do with what you try to influence them in. But let me say to you, never let it be said that you did not put forth the effort to be a mother to your children. Never let it be said that you did not try to let them see Christ living in you. And if you do that, I think you will accomplish the things God wants you to be within the home. And in doing so, you will be a blessing to those within your home.